Good morning. The scripture reading for this morning will be Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you are indeed our honored guest, and we hope and pray that at any time that you have the opportunity that you'll see fit to be here with us. I was asked a question not too long ago, and I've had discussions with others over, I guess, the past week or so, that has prompted a break from my plan for the rest of our time here. And so this particular morning, I want to ask you the question, and then spend the rest of our time answering the question. Is dancing a sin? Now, I don't like blanket statements. I don't. And so my initial reaction and initial answer to this question is yes and no. Okay? Is dancing a sin? Absolutely it can be. Is all dancing a sin? No, I don't believe it's not. It is, rather. I believe I can dance in the privacy of my own home with my wife. Now, I don't dance. You can ask my wife that. I can't. But if I felt like it and if I wanted to learn how to and I wanted to dance with my wife in the privacy of my home, I could do that. And I don't think, I know there's no sin in that. But I think there's really a larger question at hand here. With this question in and of itself, like so many decisions that we have to make in our personal life, friends, there's not a scripture to which we can go that says, thou shalt not dance. There's not one that we can find that says that dancing is sinful. And so there are some other things that we have to consider when we consider this question. Is dancing a sin? So what we need to do as this question, as our others, they're largely based upon our attitude toward the Word of God. Now we've just spent the last 3 weeks learning about God. We've talked about the essence of God. We've talked about the character of God. We've talked about who He is. That's been the title of our series over the last 3 weeks, Getting to Know God. And so, friends, our answer to this question, as far as public dancing goes, that's where we're going to spend the remainder of our time. Dancing in public and such, as far as these things go, these things are going to be answered upon our attitude toward God and His Word. So the first thing that we need to do this morning is we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I going to have an attitude that seeks to avoid any questionable decisions in my life and the appearance of impropriety? Or on the other hand, am I going to have an attitude that seeks to try to get away with as much as I possibly can in this life? In other words, I'm going to get right up next to the edge of the cliff and hope that it doesn't crumble out from underneath me. Or that I don't lose my balance and fall off. Friends, if we have the attitude that we're just going to do the bare minimum, and we're going to try to get away with doing as little as possible for the Lord, and we're going to focus on trying to please ourselves, then friends, we're not going to come to the proper conclusion regarding this particular question and others that arise in our lives. On the other hand, if I make a decision and I have the attitude that I'm going to go the extra mile in my service to Christ, Matthew 5 and verse 41. If I make the decision and I have the attitude to be a living sacrifice for God and for Christ, Romans 12 and verse 1, and I'm going to avoid the appearance of evil, as a matter of fact, Paul says, all appearances of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. But friends, I as a Christian will ultimately be better off. I don't intend for this sermon to be a long one this morning at any stretch of the imagination. We're going to jump right into this. I have 8 questions, and I hope that you'll write them down. I hope that you'll consider these. 8 questions that we have to answer in order to answer this question. Is dancing a sin? And then we'll draw, hopefully, each one of us, individually, we'll draw the proper conclusions based upon these questions. Question number 1. Will my dancing or will the dance bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 simply states, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All that you do, how are we to do it? Do all in the name or by the authority of the Lord. And so, friends, what we understand is that I need to strive, for one, to find authority for these things in Scripture, and then also I need to consider, is this bringing glory to God? Isn't that what Jesus says? And we'll get to this Scripture in just a moment, but in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify the Father in heaven. Question number 2. Will my dancing help or hurt my influence for Christ? Romans 13 and verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So is what I do, is that helping or hurting when it comes to dancing? Is this helping or hurting my influence for Christ, for God? Friends, I'll say this, and I mean, if you want to talk about this afterwards, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of a place in San Angelo where I can go and dance in public and it not hurt my influence for Christ. When I try, you think about this, I go to this place and then I may try to talk to somebody I know about, and they know that I've been over here, and I try to talk to them about God, about the Bible, about Christ. Well, Josh, you were just down to the dance hall the other day. That puts me on a plane, friends, with the rest of the world. God says I am to be set apart, I am to be sanctified. Question number 3. Will dancing emphasize my own sexuality, thus tantalizing, enticing, or tempting others to have impure thoughts? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. Listen to the words of Christ. These are not my words. These are the words of Jesus. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But listen to this now. But woe to that man or woman by whom the offenses cometh, or whom the offense cometh. Friends, again, re-emphasizing, maybe rewording this question a little bit, will dancing emphasize my own sexuality and so tantalize, entice, or tempt others to have those impure thoughts? Those are things that I have to consider. Friends, this same question can be, and we've asked, as a matter of fact, this same question in regards to modesty. Question number 4. Will dancing cause someone to lust after me, thus causing them to stumble and sin? Goes right back to question number 3. Matthew 5 and verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Friends, I don't think anyone here can deny that most modern dance and slow dancing and such encourages the thoughts of a man and a woman, for that matter, with whom they're dancing. This would fall under Matthew 5 and verse 28. Question number five. Is the dance appropriate and respectful befitting the station of a priest of God? I have had the privilege over the last year to discuss on Monday mornings the scheme of redemption. And we've gone through the book of Genesis, we've gone through the book of Exodus, we had a bit of an overview of Leviticus, we've been through Numbers and Deuteronomy, we just finished up Joshua. We're going to get into the book of Judges next week, but one thing that has stuck out to me, particularly in Exodus and Leviticus, is the type or the shadow of what those in the church would become and be. Go back and look in Exodus toward the end of the book and you see Moses setting aside Aaron and his family to be priests unto God and everything that they had to do and go through in order to be sanctified for that work. And you see that furtherance of it in the book of Leviticus, and you see it alluded to in Numbers and Deuteronomy. But friends, what we're looking at here, as far as the Levitical priesthood being a shadow of the Christian priesthood. Christ being the high priest, and then everyone else that has obeyed the gospel is a priest unto God. John says as much in Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 6. John says, and hath made us, Christians, kings and priests unto God and His Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Peter refers to Christians as a royal priesthood. Being somewhere in public and such as this, outside of the privacy of my home, dancing with my wife, friends, is that befitting? Is that respectful? Is that appropriate for a priest of God? Question number six. Is the dance stating that we are pure and holy? We had the privilege last summer of going through the book of Leviticus, and the theme really the theme for the summer and the theme of Leviticus is a sinful man approaching a holy God. And in Leviticus, God says, tells the priests, be ye holy, for I am holy. Peter echoes that again in 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all, listen to this now, in all manner of conversation and everything you do in life. Because as it is written, or because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Friends, when I participate in such actions, I don't think there's any way that we could say that we are stating to the world that we are pure and holy. Number seven. Because of the dance, would someone mistake me for a worldly individual? Again, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Really, we can go all the way back to verse 13 where Christ speaking to His disciples, those that are there at the Sermon on the Mount, He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a candlestick in the house. Verse 16, which we've already quoted, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Friends, there are just certain places that a Christian cannot go. There are certain activities that a Christian cannot engage in. Because if we do such, then we're not set apart. We're not sanctified. And the rest of the world says, you're just like me. And friends, if the world can point at me and say, Josh Romo, you're just like me, then I have not lived up to my end of the bargain when it comes to Christ dying for my sins. I'm not to be like the world. I'm not to be like everybody else. And here's the one that really is the kicker for me, number eight. Because of this dance or dancing, am I touching a member of the opposite sex. Now think about this, and these things go along with this question. Am I touching a member of the opposite sex in this dance? If so, am I brushing up against them? Am I touching them in any way? Friends, most times, as far as I have been told, what I have seen on television, what I've read in books, most of the time when we go somewhere in public to dance, while I may have carried a date, most oftentimes my date is not the only one that I dance with. And everything that I've read and everything that I've seen. Now, you may be the exception to the rule, but again, there are some other things to consider there. But if I'm dancing with someone that is other than my wife, am I touching them in this way? Am I brushing up against them that's going to incite some of the things that we've already considered? But then also, think about this. Husbands. What if you were to come home and saw your wife slow dancing with a man in your living room? Embraced in such a way, but there's no music. Take the music away. Take the idea of being in a public place away, and what's the first thing that pops in your mind? My wife's having an affair. This man is not me. This man is holding my wife in a way that I am to hold my wife and touching her that a man that is not her husband ought not, in places that he ought not be touching. In a way that he ought not be touching. Friends, you know what that's called? Situational ethics. And those type of ethics don't hold water. If I cannot walk up to someone and touch them in the exact same way apart from that dance, then touching them during a dance is equally wrong. It's just as wrong to touch someone else inappropriately during a dance as the same action would be without having a dance involved. Friends, it's not that God does not want anyone to have a full and happy life. On the contrary, it's that God can see the consequences of everything, and He knows what those things will bring, and that they'll bring pain and suffering to those that He loves. God knows that these things are not what brings a lasting happiness. We're called to be righteous for a reason. Think what a better world we would live in if there were no sexual predators, if there were no thieves, no murderers, no sinners. Think what a better world our world would be if not for the ravages of sin. Friends, that's the kind of world God wants for humanity, but in order for that to happen, all of humanity has to follow after God's righteousness, not my own. You go back to the book of Judges, and the prominent thing, really, the key verse throughout all the book of Judges, I think it's Judges 17 and verse 20 or 20:17, where are the other? In that day there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Friends, my walk with Christ, my walk with God is to be based upon God's righteousness, not mine. Think about this as we come to a close. When you look at the life of let's go back. Let's start with Abraham. Do you see him trying to justify anything that he does when it's in accordance with the Word of God? Jacob, when he's following God's Word, does he justify, does he try, is he scrambling to find, well, God said this and I take from that that it's okay? Joseph? We get all the way to Moses. I never read of Moses trying to justify his actions when God told him to do something. He's not trying to. Friends, my point is this. You look at Christ. When he braided the whip and he drove the money changers and he overturned the table, he drove them out of the temple. He didn't have to justify himself because he knew that he was in good standing with God's Word. Friends, if I'm doing something, whether it's dancing, whether I'm trying to justify social drinking or whatever the case may be, the key is there, I'm trying to justify. When I'm trying to do that, friends, there's a question in my mind. And at that case, we need to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul tells me that if it is a violation of my conscience, in other words, I'm having to try to justify something, it's because I feel guilty about it. And if that's the case, friends, I'm trying to live to my own righteousness and not God's. We have to follow God's righteousness, regardless of how much we may want to or not. We cannot claim that God's righteousness or we cannot claim God's righteousness for our own and then dabble in the world where it suits us and when it suits us. In order to fully take hold of God's righteousness, friends, we have to forsake all the things that bring about unrighteousness. Because it's the unrighteousness. It's the darkness of the world that has made it the mess that it is today. We have to resolve ourselves to stand apart from the world and not be a partaker of it. James 4 and verse 4. James writes, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, friends, regarding this question and just our lives, as we put away our Bibles and we take out our psalm books, one simple question, according to what James has written that we just read. Which would you be this morning, an enemy or a friend? Which will you be on the day of judgment? If that day were to come right now, will you stand before the throne of God and be an enemy or a friend? Friend, if you're here this morning and you realize that you're at enmity because you've been friends with the world, make that right this morning. To do that, friend, if you're not a Christian, you must become one. You must put Christ on in baptism, believing that He is the Son of God, repenting of your sin, and confessing Him before men. Being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you can do that this morning, you can become a friend of God. It may be that you're here, friend, at one time, you were a friend of God, but for whatever reason, you decided a friendship with the world had become more important. Friend, come home. Please. Be His again. Is dancing a sin? 99.9% of it is. And friends, that's because as we answer these questions, there's no way around them. Instead of trying to justify ourselves, let's just live justly according to the Word of God. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?